make it to work.
Switch now to radio discharge. He should be back shortly.
I'll be on the side of town where I can actually hear the repeater tomorrow, or today, so unlike yesterday.
I'm to the gate now, so I'm on 373, and that you guys have an awesome, safe day, and enjoy that concert, Eric, and we'll catch you guys later. KN4 TFW.
Again, hope you have a great day. KO4HK.
Dave, have a great day. We'll talk to you later. W2JKT.
I'm going to charge the car at work today.
Getting up to get one of the L2 chargers, no problem. And I'll probably just leave it plugged in until, I mean, I can leave it until noon, so I should be able to get it back up fully charged by then.
I was curious about that. You don't have a place to charge it when you go to work, something like that. So it's not like you can just run in and put some gas in it and go.
Fast charger up at the direct tool store, so I can always use that for half an hour if I need to. But really, I charge it to 80%, and on that 80%, I can make it, you know, to work and back, or from work to home and back, without charging if I really, really have to. I mean, I've got 89 miles on the clock now, and I've got like 30 to go. So, you know, I did charge it a little bit at home, but I went back out, and then when I came back, I forgot to plug it back in. But I think I started with 140 this morning, and so, you know, that's plenty to get me into the office, and then, you know, when I charge it, it'll get me enough to get home.
Sounds good. But if one of those people that didn't have a charger at work, that's where you'd be really screwed.
All the fast chargers along 85, there's one at exit 39, there's one at exit 51. There's a couple in Greer and a couple in Spartanburg, so, you know, it's really not a problem for me to, you know, stop for 15 minutes and do a fast charge to get home if I need to.
Because for me, I don't know where the charger is. I'm sure there's some in Hendersonville somewhere, but you've got to make it to Hendersonville to get one.
And it's 54 there on 74, I think, or 26. There's a Sunoco, no, a Shell station, I think, right there at the top of the grade. They've got a fast charger there. So whenever we go to Asheville or Hendersonville, we stop there on the way out and just top off a little bit, and that's enough to get us plenty back home.
The Walmart and Sam's and all that right through there.
Okay, but this one is a little further east towards Shelby. I think it's still 74 before it meets up with 26.
You were talking about the Shell station there in Hendersonville off of 26. I think it's exit 54 too, something like that. I can't remember since they changed all of it.
Before or after it meets up with 26, but it's over there somewhere, and I've used it a few times. And there are a couple of fast chargers in Hendersonville. I think there's one at a Harley-Davidson dealer somewhere. It's like a 20-kilowatt charger. And then there's one at, I think there's a BMW dealership that has one, too.
I think the dealerships to have one, at least, for their brand or whatever, coming in, letting people use it and look around. And, you know, that's encouraging those people to come in and look at their product.
In Gastonia has one, and I was there charging one day, and the guy told me, yeah, we got that just for that reason, to get people in to spend, you know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes hanging out in our waiting room and looking at our cars.
That silent salesman used that tactic quite a bit on the tool truck.
I got one for free, you know, because the federal government will pay for it if you want to put in a fast charger in a busy area. There's really no downside to it.
I don't think the electric cars are going anywhere. I think they've kind of leveled off for a little while in the people buying them, but I don't think they're here to stay as part of the, you know, mix of vehicles on the road, but I don't think they're a replacement vehicle yet.
Well, I think people need to get over themselves and stop making it a political issue and just realize that, you know, electric cars are a great use case for a lot of people, especially in urban areas, and, you know, just quit. quit fighting it. You know, let electric vehicles take their market and just, you know, stop whining and crying about it. You know, nobody's coming for your diesel just because, you know, they're trying to encourage EV adoption, you know?
Anyway, the only concern for me, real concern, is like the charging for my, my personal use. I just don't see it as a viable option. Now driving down the mountain, that part of it, yeah. But what I'm doing now, I just don't see it.
Electric tool truck anytime soon, but I mean, for me, we go all over the place. You know, we'll go to Asheville, we'll go to Charlotte, we'll go to Greenville, whatever. I mean, any place that's within an hour and a half drive is fair game, and not even needing a charger. And, you know, we took this thing down to Charleston last year, and we made one charging stop along the way, and, you know, had lunch or whatever, and it was great. I mean, it was perfectly fine. So a lot of people just have the range anxiety, and I'm one of those people that had it, and then I bought one, and I'm like, huh, that's really not an issue.
That's a lot of it, and I'm not on one, but I have experience with them, so for my use, I would rather have the hybrid if I was going to go that route, because I do a lot of long-distance driving, and it would just be easier for me instead of having to worry about that. There again, I think there are lots of applications that could be converted over to electric. The only concern there for me would be the power grid. We need to, our infrastructure needs to improve in that area.
There's a lot of money available to upgrade infrastructure as part of the that bill that they passed. That it was like $11 billion. You know, the vast majority of that is for, you know, grid improvements. And, you know, we've needed the grid improvements for a long time. You know, the EVs are not really anything new in terms of, you know, there being too much load on the grid. But I think it's finally, you know, forcing the issue and, you know, forcing us to do what we should have been doing for a long time. That's upgrading the infrastructure.
It did need to be upgraded. And I think solar and wind are a good additive to it, but I don't think we're ready to step away from all the other stuff yet either.
Nickel at Woodruff. Off the charts today. I wonder if whatever was causing it was just turned off this morning.
I've got several things I go by that are the same way. Sometimes they're bad and sometimes they're not. I don't know what the rhyme or reason is to it.
Noise created by anything, but anyway, yeah, it's, you know, everything will find its place, and things change all the time, and I think, you know, part of our problem as a culture is that so many people are just so resistant to anything changing. They just want things to stay the same all the time, and that's just not feasible, so we just need to get over ourselves and let it go, you know?
I agree, and like I said, nobody's forcing you to make the change yet. They're just, it's an alternative. And like you said, as long as we quit making it political, I think it would make a lot smoother transition.
Politicians want to make everything political so they can try to win an election. So that's also part of the problem.
Thing is a political argument anymore. I mean, it's hard to have a conversation without somebody without stepping on a toe or this side or the other because of it. Days where you could say what was on your mind and not have to worry about all that.
Everything you say is recorded and stored and, you know, everything else. Like, you know, our phones are always listening and everything we say is fair game for getting, you know, recorded by somebody. So you have to be careful because the internet is forever. We have that discussion with our 15-year-old all the time. It's like, the crap you put on the internet is there forever. You cannot delete anything from the internet. And you have to be very careful about what you say and what you write and what you put on there, because even if you delete it, it's still there. And somebody will dig it up in 20 years and hold it against you. So you have to be very careful. And it sucks that we live in a culture like that, but, you know, it is what it is. And you have to acknowledge the headwinds, you know?
I agree. And it's there again, back to what we were talking about, change is inevitable and it's going to happen. And you just got to learn to deal with it. Make the best out of it, move on.
Yeah, in the long term, the EVs are going to be part of the solution for our grid problems, because the newer EVs have this V2G function where when they're plugged in, if there's a blackout, they can automatically provide energy to the grid. And, you know, you can, you know, the technology allows them to all synchronize each other. And so you can have a grid that if there's a blackout, everybody's EVs start kicking in and restoring power. So for some period of time. So I think that's part of the solution that is kind of brilliant if you think about it. You know, there's always going to be those folks that don't want the change. So I guess we'll just see how it goes.
We still got a while to watch that dog and pony show in our lifetime, so at least I hope we do. And there's not a whole lot that you or I are going to do to change it.
Just along for the ride.
Doing any JSA call lately?
Time to do much of anything with radio at home. I can remote in from the office, so I've been trying to do some stuff over lunch, just go to, you know, doing some digital, but I haven't been doing JS8 calls, so I've been trying to, you know, do some PSK31 and other stuff, trying to kind of revive that, because nobody much does that anymore. But I remember the day when you could not get a PSK conversation going because everything was so busy. You know, I got really bored with FT8 pretty quick, so I'm trying to go back to some other Digimodes.
The FT8 for me is the same thing as the DX, chasing the DX contact. Making the contact and moving on, the signal report, there's just nothing there for me.
For a while, but I got bored with it, so I don't really do it anymore. JSA call is fun, but it's a lot more fun if you have like a network of people that you talk to, you know, can send messages, and you know, it kind of reminds me of the old BBS days when you would dial in and, you know, leave messages for folks and stuff, but or even packet BBSs, but we haven't really built that yet, so you know, I do get on there once in a while, but not very often.
I like JSA call too because of that, and I think there's a lot more options to it if you've got a network of people. I think it's the way to go because you're relying upon your station only to make contact with whoever instead of having to bounce to another one and then them come get it. You take one leg of that out of there and it makes it a little smoother transition to me.
What we should all do is on like 40 or 80 meters or something, you know, short distance stuff, we should all find a JS8 station that is on there a lot and that we could all reach, and then we can use that one as our message store or something like that. One thing that JS8 call does not have is where, you know, messages get propagated. I think you have to leave a message with a certain station and then everybody else has to go to that station. And I think that's what the all call is sort of there to do. You know, you do an all call, get messages, and any station that has a message for you will send it to you. So I guess that's maybe a substitute. But, yeah, we should find one that all works and, you know, give it a shot.
I think that's the, you know, everybody's looking into this mesh-tastic stuff right now. I think JSA call is still a better option for HF. I'm not relying on 915 megahertz, which doesn't go very far, to do that. The only thing about it is you don't have to have your license to get on it.
License and you can do internet stuff because it's not licensed, but I think it's also a solution looking for a problem. It's kind of like that wet dream of like, oh, we'll have internet when the apocalypse happens. I'm like, dude, if there's a war or something, the last thing I need to care about is the internet, you know?
Everybody's so reliant on the internet and they don't know how to do anything for themselves.
Yeah, we have to have Facebook in the post-war apocalypse.
Them having to go back to a book and flip the pages and find it. Here's a table of contents and a glossary.
We haven't, you know, Courtney has bookcases and bookcases full of books, and one of the reasons we haven't donated them or gotten rid of them is because, like, you know, when the crap hits the fan or if the power goes out, whatever, you've still got something that you can hold in your hand and read and learn from. You don't rely on a computer or the internet or anything else to get information. So, you know, I think that's kind of a valuable thing to have, and she's got a lot of the old classics that people love to read, so I like having those on hand.
There's just something about sitting down with a magazine or a book and being able to read it and turn the page and, hey, what happened here, and then flip back to it. It's just, I don't know, I like that much better. Sitting down to read the newspaper than scrolling on a screen. I would much rather do that.
Well, the different generation, you know, Gen Xers, you know, had that growing up. You know, the current crop, you know, Gen Z, I think don't they define Gen Z as the first generation that, you know, always had an electronic device or something from a young age?
They don't even use a book anymore. They don't even teach them cursive writing in school. You know, most of them can barely write their name in print.
Our 9-year-old has terrible handwriting, and because he never has to write anything. So, you know, when he does write, well, he's left-handed, and that doesn't make it any easier for him because, you know, writing left to right is not good for left-handed people. So, but yeah, I mean, they don't teach him cursive, and they don't do that many writing exercises. So, it's just a different world, you know.
Like we were talking earlier, not all of it's for the better, but it's growing pains. It's the learning curve in it. I'm going to bail out of here. I'm getting close to my first stop. I hope you have a great day, and your meeting goes good. So have a good day. KO4H Kicks, and I'll be clear. 7-3.
Okay, it was good talking to you this morning. We'll catch you later. So W2JKT, clear.